It's a great thing to know Jesus. And not just we can know Jesus, we want to share how good he is to other people. So today my burden is to share about how to be fishers of men. Let us pray first. Lord, as we gather before you, it is our desire to know you. And it is our prayer that more people can also come to know you. So, Lord, speak to us this morning. We commit our hearts before you. In Jesus' name, amen. When Jesus called disciples to follow him, let us look at in Matthew chapter 4. In here it says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" Now, when we come to know Jesus, we may think, oh, when we become a Christian, God wants me to do this, do that, read the Bible, go to meeting, doing a lot of things. That's our impression for becoming Christians, doing many things, doing many good things. But actually, in here, Jesus asked them to follow me. Me. In Jesus' heart, he wants us to have a relationship with him. Not doing many things, but to come close to him. But after that relationship was built, and throughout that relationship, he's going to do something in our lives. Notice, he did not say, "Follow me and you share the gospel." No. He said, "And I will make you." Notice that. With that relationship built up, Jesus is going to change us. Jesus is going to transform our lives. I will make you. Not because you try very hard. Not because of you use your wisdom or use all your effort to do something for him. He will make you. So this is the second part. Relationship is the first part. After this relationship was built, he will transform us. Yes, we all like to be transformed, but to be what? The third part is fishers of men, like fishermen. I don't know what you feel about, like, do you like fishing or not? Some people like fishing. And what do you do with the fish? It seems the fish was enjoying its own life in the sea. Once you catch the fish, it lost its freedom, even lost its life. So it's not something good for the fish, isn't it? So when we say fishers of men, oh, now we become, instead of catching fish, now we catch men. Men are free. We catch them, so they lose their freedom. And are we going to enslave them? You know, when people go to war, when you capture captives, you enslave them, you torture them, you humiliate them, you do whatever you want, you labor them. So it's not that good for those who are captured by men. So what does it mean by fishers of men? Once we become disciples, we catch people. They are free, and we catch them and enslave them. Is that what Christianity is about? I don't think so. So why would God want us to be fishers of men? In Kellerville, our brother Tim also liked fishing. He used spear gun, dive into the sea, and kill the fish. Now, not very nice to the fish. So why do we want to be fishers of men? Men are free. They go their own ways. Are we catching them? Not at all. Now, before I go on, not so fast. Before I go on, Let me put it this way. When God saved us, there's a relationship that builds up. He does not transform us to be a worker for Him. If there's a great master, he has many workers, the workers do their job, then the workers, when they have done their job, the benefit goes to the master, isn't it? So, our Lord Jesus does not need us to help Him because He needs help. No, not at all. He can use angels to share the gospel. He doesn't need us. Angels are more powerful, more efficient, more faithful than us. We are lazy. It's hard to get up in the cold day, isn't it? So we struggle a lot. But why would God want us to serve Him? Actually, think about like this. God does not need workers, but He wants sons. He loves us. So this, He make us fishers of men. This make us is transforming our lives. It's not for helping Him, not for His own benefit, but for our benefits. Just like a father hoping his sons to grow up, to be mature, is for the good, for the benefit of the son. So when our Lord transforms us to be fishers of men, it's not for His benefits, but for our benefits. Why does God want us to be fishers of men? So that is the reason why. We want to be something else. You save me, transform me to be a great worker, a great preacher. We want God to transform our life to be, I want to be a doctor. Transform me to be a doctor. Transform me to be an accountant. We have our own dreams. But why fishers of men? When we come before the Lord, transform me. I will make you something. But we never think about fishers of men. Why would God want us to be fishers of men? Why would God want to take man, capture man? The reason is, we can see in John chapter 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, it's not that the fish are enjoying their freedom, we capture them, take away their freedom, enslave them. No, actually in God's eye, people are perishing in sin, in death. And God has a feeling for man. The problem is we do not have such feeling for other people. When we look at them, they are enjoying their lives. They have their own dreams. If I share the gospel as if I have pulled them away from their own way, take away their freedom. Not at all. Because people are perishing. Think about your classmates. You may think them they are enjoying lives. They may think them they are enjoying lives. But in God's eyes, they are perishing. Live in emptiness. Live in sin. Live a life of purposeless, wasting our lives. The agony, the pain, the hopelessness, we don't feel for them. But God cared about your friends. You may not care. You may not have a desire to share the gospel to your friend. But God loves them and wants them to be saved, delivered from judgment, deliver them from death, deliver them from sin. Do you have such feeling for your friends who do not know the gospel? Well, they seem to be happy to go their own way. Why should I bother them with my gospel? You don't feel the lost. You don't feel their suffering in their soul. We don't care about their future. We don't care about their lives. They are facing perishment. So in God's heart, out of his love, he is saving people from judgment, from sin, from eternal separation from God. This is God's heart. He cares. He loved. For God so loved the world. Do you care about your friends? When is the last time you share with your friends about Jesus? When is the last time you tell them there's a good news? Good news. They have a sale somewhere. Good news. There's something cheap going to. Let's go and buy something. Is this the good news? Or you know something better? Good news. God sent his son to save you, to deliver you from sin. Do you have something in your heart like this? God loves us and transforms us to be like him, to care about people. So that's why in 2 Peter it says like this, chapter 2, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This is God's heart. So when God saves you, when you baptize, when you become a Christian, he wants to transform our lives like him, to care about people's life. Do you care about your family? Who has not come to know Christ? Do you share the gospel with him? Do you realize that they are facing perish? God's heart, not willing that any should perish, not willing. How is your heart? Do you share? Do you ever share? When was the last time you lead people to Christ? But then you may say, how? The next part. I don't know the whole Bible. There are so many questions in reading the Bible. I don't know how. I don't know how to talk to people. I have not studied theology. I'm not that good. I don't know how to talk. I'm shy. I don't know how to. How can I lead people to Christ? The next point is, how can we bear witness for Christ? Bear witness simply means telling people who he is, what he has done, how he has changed you in your life. Okay, I say again, bear witness is telling people who he is, who Christ is. Remember when John baptized Jesus, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God. He's telling people who Jesus is. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Bear witness, telling who he is and what he has done. Take away the sins of the world. So bear witness is simply something like this. In Acts, it says tells us about something, but you shall receive power. So whenever you share the gospel, it's not just you. The Lord promised us the Holy Spirit has come upon you. When you are willing to share, you can feel the help, the presence, the power of the Holy Spirit with you. And you shall be witness to me. Notice in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth. So it's from somewhere, starting from somewhere close to you, step by step, from your family, from your relatives, close friends, outward. Share, bear witness of Christ, step by step. And in John 4, chapter 4, 39 to 41, the Samaritan woman. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him. Why? Because of the word of the woman. The woman testified. What did she say? He told me all that I ever did. He knows me. Jesus knows my heart. He knows my life. He can change. He offers me living water. So by the word of the woman, some believed. But never stop there. So when the Samaritans had come to him, the people start curious. They start to come to Jesus. They urge him to stay with them. The more time they spend with Jesus, and he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. Now notice there are two words there. The word of the woman and his own word. First of all, the woman shared what Jesus has done in her life. Then people got curious and they come to hear Jesus themselves. And when these people hear God's words, Jesus' words, they more believed. So you may share about Jesus in your life. Your friends may start to curious. Ask them, bring them to come. Come before Christ. Come to God's words. When they hear the word of the Lord, more believed. Next. And in John chapter 5, there was a man who was paralyzed for 38 years. When Jesus talked to him, take up your bed and walk. And then he can walk. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. It was Jesus who had made him well. What change? How come there's a change in your life when people notice you are different? Why did you go to baptize? People may ask you. You tell your friends, you invite your friends. What has happened to you? Jesus had made me well. Jesus changed my life. I was paralyzed, but now he has given me power to overcome the sickness, to overcome my old life. Jesus made him well. This is witness. This is bear witness for what God has done. You don't have to argue with lots of theology questions, difficult questions. You don't have to be very learned to be a professor in a certain subject. Jesus had made him well. Very simple. Did Jesus change your life? Share that with your friends. Next one. Another obvious part is in John chapter 9. The man was born blind. When people asked him about who is he? What did he do? What did he do? He answered and said, whether Jesus is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, but now I see. I was blind. Now I see. This is a fact. You put the fact in front of the people, they can't argue because this is a fact. So by doing this, by sharing with people what God has done in your life, I was blind, but now I see. I can't walk, but he has made me well. This is bear witness to bring people to God. So you don't have to be a lot of knowledge, not debating, not arguing, but a changed life speaks a lot. Has your life changed? Think about your life. Let's go to next part. Not just bearing witness for Christ, but we can leading people to Christ as well. In John chapter 1, verse 40 to 42, we can see how Peter, one of the two who heard John speak and followed him, was Andrew. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, he has first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated to Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. How did Peter come to know Christ? Because of his brother. So you can start with your friend, family. Bring your brother to Christ. In the beginning, he heard about John the Baptist says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Andrew heard it, went home, tell his brother, "We met the Messiah. He is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Have you bring anyone to Jesus? Have you bring your brother to Jesus? Have you bring your sister to Jesus? Bring them to Jesus. Once they come to know the Lord, and Jesus will change their life. You are Simon, the son of Jonah, and you will be called Cephas. His whole life changed because that person come to know Jesus. And in Luke chapter 5, Luke, also called Matthew, he was a tax collector, and Jesus called him to follow him. So Matthew left his job and followed Jesus. But not stopping there, he gave Jesus a great feast in his own house. Not just his own house, and there were a great number of tax collectors, his old friends, tax collectors. He invited them to come to the feast. So you may not, I don't know what to tell. I don't know how my life just changed. I don't know how to talk about Jesus. Well, a great feast. Maybe you can have a great feast. Sometimes we have fellowship dinner, a feast. Sometimes you invite friends to your house, a feast. Our brother Neil always have feast at his home. Once a week, almost. Inviting people to come to know Christ. So by showing hospitality, you can also help people to come to know Christ. You may invite your friends to come for a coffee and then share it with him. Walk with your friend, then talk with him or her. Find opportunity. If you want to find opportunity, no matter it's a great feast or just a cup of coffee or just a walking down the road, find opportunity to share gospel with your friends. And we can see another occasion in Acts. Philip, this time. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. How did Philip share the gospel? The angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. So sometimes when we want to share gospel, sometimes the Holy Spirit will move in your heart. Talk to him. Go, arise, and go towards the south, along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. It doesn't sound, not many people there, so many people in Jerusalem. Why would I go to a desert place? Arise and go. The angel did not tell him, you will see so and so. No, just arise and go. Just like that. Yes. But if we are obedience to the call of the Holy Spirit can guide you. So the first step is obey. Arise and go. Then you go. Don't ask so many questions. So once he arose and went, and then he can see something. And behold, a man of an Ethiopian, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, had come to Jerusalem to worship. Now, I don't know what you can see. When you see a man of Ethiopia, he's not a Jew. I don't want to talk to him. He's not Chinese. He's not blah, blah, blah. I don't want to talk to him. Yeah, he looks a bit rough. I don't want to talk to these guys. An eunuch. Oh, eunuch. I don't like eunuch. Great authority. Oh, such a great man. I'm a humble man. He won't like to talk to me. so many excuses we can find if we don't want to do God's work. We look at people, he doesn't look the right person for me. I dare not talk to him. Look at him, Ethiopian, eunuch, great authority. There are so many ways that can stop us to talk to some stranger. And also, look, he was in a chariot. Was returning and sitting in his chariot. He's sitting in a chariot? I was walking on the road. How can I catch up with that man? So many things that can happen that stops our urge to do God's work. How can I catch up with that chariot? He was reading Isaiah the prophet. Now, this is more amazing to me. If I'm reading a part of Isaiah, would you know that it's from the book of Isaiah? Oh, that sounds familiar. Where does it come from? We may not even notice he's reading Isaiah. And notice, he has to catch up with him and run and hear. Can you run and hear? If I'm just running, I can't hear properly. All my attention is breathing. What did you say? What were you reading? The book of Isaiah? Which part of Isaiah? And then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. How can I run faster than a horse? And overtake this chariot. And as you're running, you can hear him reading the book from Isaiah. This is amazing. So Philip ran to him. So equip yourself, ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? Ah, he finds the opportunity. But the thing is, we may not even know what we are reading. We don't even understand what the book of Isaiah is about. So, which means, if God wants to use you, are you equipped to do his work? Do you understand what you are reading? So you read Bible every day, maybe. Do you understand what you are reading? One day you hear some people talking about it. Ah, you can apply that to help him. Are you equipped? You know, fishermen, when you go to fishing, at least bring your fishing rod. Bring some bait with you. Or even fishing net, a fishing gun. Have your tools ready to fish. When you want to share the gospel, do you at least know some Bible verse that you can use? You are not equipped. If someone asks you, I want to be saved, how can I be saved? If someone asks you, I want to have everlasting life, that sounds good. How can I have everlasting life? Oh, you can be a child of God. How can I be a child of God? Any Bible verse you can think of? How can I be a child of God? How can I be saved? We need at least get ready some bait. At least get ready to fish. You need something in your pocket. So are you equipped? Are you ready to help people to come to know Christ? Don't tell me you go fishing empty-handed. Sit there and wait for the fish to jump up to you? Nah. You have to be ready. Christ wants you. I will make you fishers of men. Yes, he will make you. But you need to equip yourself with God's words. Next point. When we try to share gospel, many times, people will reject what you say. We have been sharing in Hands and Feet Monday Ministry. We have been sharing gospel for almost more than 2 years now. more than 100 times we share the gospel. 70 people sitting there every week, almost every week, listening to you. How many of them accepted Christ? Not many. Some people show interest, but sometimes they never come to that state of, okay, I'm willing to accept. Then what should we do? When you go fishing, 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 no fish, no fish, no fish, how do you feel? You want to give up, isn't it? What's wrong? How can I improve? Is it the right rod? Is it the right fishing line I should use? Is it the right bait? Is it the right time? I remember once, the first time I used a fishing rod. I swing it back and try to swing out the fishing rod. You know what happened? The hook got my back. I can't get any fish. I got myself. Because I've never used the fish. I don't know how to use the fishing rod. So, it's at my back. No. You need to learn. We need to learn how to do fishing, isn't it? So, let's go further down to see. So when they had, in the last chapter in the Acts of Apostles, so when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging. So Paul was sharing with the Jews, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets, from morning till evening. And some were persuaded. Some people accepted. By the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. Some people accepted, some people disbelieved. How would you feel when I face people rejection? Immediately, I think of myself. Why? Because I rejected the gospel at the beginning. And yet, God have patience with me after many times. He let me experience, and then my eyes starts to open. Then I see. Now I look back. I was the one who rejected Christ as well. Yet God have patience with me. The more when I face rejection from other people, I realize I was just like that. And yet God has not let me go. God has not abandoned me. So how can I give up? I shouldn't give up. God's patience, God's love, God's mercy should touch our hearts. Yes, people reject, but this is man. We rejected light. We like darkness. I was like that. And yet God shows mercy and patience with me. So by seeing other rejection from other people, I remembered the mercy of God upon me. Next. So let us not grow weary while doing good. If this is good, showing God's, telling them people about the grace and mercy of God. The more rejected from them, the more greatness, the more mercy I understand. God's mercy. People are like that, God. They don't appreciate what you have done. Yet, God still loves them. Again and again and again. So let us not grow weary. This is God's heart, not willing anyone to perish, but come to repentance. So by sharing gospel, I understand a little bit more about God's grace and mercy and his patience. I was transformed a little bit by sharing gospel, facing rejection. I face a little bit rejection, but They are not rejecting me. They are rejecting God's grace. I did not die on the cross. Jesus died on the cross. They are not rejecting me. They are rejecting the grace of God upon them. So do not give up. And in the last part, as I mentioned, yes, people will reject us, but still we have to get ready. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 to 16, be sanctified, the Lord God, in your hearts, and always be ready. So we should be ready. How? To give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. When people notice our life, when people notice that we live differently, we have a kind of hope they do not have. They start to curious. They ask you, and you know how to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope. Can people look at your life and notice you are different? Why do you spend time? Why do you go to church meeting on Sunday? It's boring, they may think. Why do you still come? Why is there a hope in your life? What is the reason? Are you ready to give a defense? With meekness and fear, we can tell them, have a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers. Now, if you want to have a good conscience, that means you did not do the evil things. So think about your life. Are we in front of people? If we want to share a good news, gospel, we must live a sanctified life before people. People look at you. You are different. Tell me. But when they look at us, we are just like them, doing evil things. Use filthy language, like them. Our minds are filled with filthy, evil thoughts, like them. You are just like us. They won't arouse any interest in your God, because your God is nothing in their sight. But if we can share, only if we can share the gospel, if we lived a different life. If they say that we are an evildoer, then those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. So that means when we try to share the gospel, how do we live our life? If you want to be ready to share God's words, not just giving people one verse or two words, but how about our lives in front of people? Do we live a different life? So, be ready. If people ask you, how can I be saved? Maybe you can use Romans chapter 10, verse 9 to answer. If people ask you, how can I become a child of God? Maybe you can use John chapter 1, verse 12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So are using God's words to tell people. Not because just you feel it, you think, but God's promise. Those who receive him, believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So when people ask you, how can we become child of God? You can use God's words to help them. People say, I'm a good person. Why do you say I'm a sinner? How would you answer? I'm a good man. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God says all have sinned. You think you are a good man? All have sinned in God's eye. So you use God's words to help people. There is no justice in this world. Everyone dies. Hebrews 9:27. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after death comes judgment. There is judgment after death. So you, when you know God's words, you can use God's words to help people. Remember, Philip asked the eunuch, "Do you understand what you are reading? Do you understand what you are reading? Can we use God's words to help people? Can we help to bring people so that they won't perish and come to have everlasting life?" So equip ourselves, think about our life. Can you help people? So if you want some Bible verses, I've printed a few. If you want, come and ask me after the meeting. I got a few to share with you. So let us pray. Come before the Lord. Father, we thank you that it's by your love that you want no one to perish, but can have everlasting life. We pray that when we come before you, you can transform us like you, to be fishers of men, to help people to come to know you. Give us the courage, give us the heart to love men and bring people to come to you. And we pray that our lives will be ready to help people. Give us an undivided heart to serve you, to love you. We commit this time, our lives before you. Lord, help us to be ready in your hand, to be ready in helping people to come to know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.